Wow.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Jonathan, for leading that song. That's one of my favorites. That tells the whole story. That blessed me this morning. My son in Pennsylvania, Gene, he led that song when he led our praise songs in the Sunday mornings where I preach, where we served there. He sang that probably almost every Sunday. And that just blessed me. I told him one time, I said, I think you can get more people to get tears in their eyes with your singing than I can preaching. I tell you, music's been always, songs have always touched my heart, a lot more so than preaching. I've heard a lot of preaching over the years, but songs, they minister to my heart. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah. As I was seeking for a message, I was thinking about one person asked me last week, as a friend of mine, he said, is it really possible? I guess he's having some marriage problems. And he says, is it possible that a man can make a wife completely happy? Ooh, I wasn't quite prepared for that one since we were married, 44 years, right, Martha? And but I should have had an answer for him, but my mind just took off in a spin. And I thought about preaching about that. I seek that. I want to have an answer when somebody asks me that. But I found out one thing: happiness is a choice. You can't buy it. It's a choice. If you want to be sad, go ahead and be sad. If you want to be happy, then get a smile on your face. How about that? Say it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but that's what they say anyhow. Anyhow. Scott, he's the pastor up there where we attend church right now. And they said they're going to a funeral, him and Grace. I asked Martha if she could watch the two grandchildren that are not in school. When they came home, I wasn't sure who it was. And here the guy, you probably even know about it, but the guy committed suicide. And left a wife and, I believe, two children. And that just shocked me. I mean, I enjoy life. Things must be pretty bad if somebody goes into a garage and turns their car on and shut the doors and leave it run and go to sleep to never wake up. You think about it. Do you enjoy life this morning? I want to live. I don't want to die. I'm going to go to heaven, but I got to die to go to heaven, but I can't take my life. Think about it. You don't do that. That's wrong. You shouldn't even let Satan put that in your mind, ever. But that's what happened, and that's what I think gave me the message that that I'm thinking about, that I felt that I should preach here this morning. And it's the title of it is Hold On. Hold on to whatever you're going through, and just hold on to life. And let's look at Jacob, the Old Testament. I got a story here to tell you. As we know it about Jacob, as we think about his grandfather was Abraham. Abraham, you know, when God called him, one of my favorite scriptures is these stories in the Old Testament, some of these characters that God used and called them out. And they served him faithful, but they also failed. But Abraham, when he was called out in Genesis 17, one day God wanted to bless him. So Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. Then later on, then it was Isaac. He's the one that he took up into the mountain. He's going to offer him because God asked him to. He got up early and did all that. Then there's a grandson come along from Abraham. His name was Jacob and Esau. Let's see a little bit about Jacob's life. Jacob was a different kid. He had a brother that was all hairy, and he stayed with his dad. He kind of had dad's favorite, the way I take it. He was a hunter, and I believe dad, you know, when Esau sit here with dad and talked about all about the things that he was doing, you know, and you know how he got this deer and how he, you know, how he made a good shot and all of that. But Jacob always hung around with his mama, And he was kind of mama's boy. But anyhow, he ended up, Esau came home one day, and he was really hungry. He didn't get anything to eat. Evidently, the deer wasn't running, or no rabbits or nothing out there. Or maybe he missed them. But anyhow, people miss them sometimes. But anyhow, he came home, and he saw Jacob. Jacob's a cook. He knew how to do those things. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And that was the beginning of Jacob's problem. And you know what? Later on, the Bible says that later on, his mama heard Esau say that he's going to take pleasure in killing Jacob. And he began to run. You know what? I think about holding on, we'll get to that verse a little bit later, but as I think about holding on, there's things that happen sometimes in our life years ago that just don't go away. It just holds on and it comes back up. We sang that last song. I'll have some scripture in the New Testament I want to finish up with to encourage us that our sins are forgiven. They're under the blood. We don't have to go back there. But as we think about Jacob, as he thought about what he had done, he began to run. He went to his uncle Laban's place, and that's where he stayed. But before he got there, there's something very interesting happened. As he was running, one night, I could just picture him as the enemy is behind me running. Just picture this in your mind. You know, he heard things. He looks back over his shoulder and he hears something. I wonder if that's Esau. And I wonder if that's my brother, because he's going to kill me. It's that simple. He's not going to beat me up or put me in the hospital. He's going to kill me, because he is a good shot. He's a hunter. I can just picture him hiding kind of in a brush pile and take a rock and use it for a pillow, the Bible says. He puts it under his head and he kind of sneaks in this little place, and guess who showed up in a dream? God showed up in a dream and he saw the ladder all the way from the ground up into the heavens. And he says the angels were coming and going and God was right there in top of the ladder. He was so happy when he woke up. And it says in verse 16 in Genesis 28, it says, "And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." That just blesses me when I read those verses. Sometimes maybe we feel in darkness. Maybe we feel that we're all alone. Maybe we feel that nobody likes us. Maybe we feel that we don't know what's going to happen. We're afraid. We're just afraid. And he woke up and he said, and he was afraid, and he said, "How dreadful is this place?" That means the King James calls it "a dreadful," but it means "how awesome." How awesome is this place? "This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven." That's what Jacob woke up with. You know what? Then he went to Laban, and that didn't all turn out very good either. But the day came. The day came that he was going to make peace with his brother, Esau. I believe that it was on his mind. It was constantly on his mind that, I wonder, that was years in between. Because he had two wives, the Bible says. And they were going to meet Esau. He wants to make peace with his brother. I really believe that he missed him. He wanted to go back and make peace. And I'm going to start reading a few verses in Genesis chapter 32, verses 24, when Jacob wrestled with the angel. He was on his way to meet his brother. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. How many of you ever heard of a wrestling match that lasts all night? It seemed like he got pretty tired, but just take a little look. Just let your mind take a little trip this morning and go back to all the problems, years of coming, that he had with him. He just couldn't get rid of it. I believe, people, that is why Jacob was able to wrestle all night long. He had problems. He was just plain tired of running. He wanted to get victory over these things. And I think his mind was on Esau all the time. Well, then he ended up, he wrestled, the Bible says, some people think that, I read different stories, some people thought maybe this was Jesus. And it is a type of Christ, some of these verses, no doubt about it. But the Bible says Jacob wrestled with an angel. I'm satisfied with that. Until the breaking of day. Verse 25, and when he saw that he would not prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Jacob hung on even with pain. His hip was out of place, out of joint. Can you imagine how much pain that is? You know, when you get older, sometimes you get pain in your joints, in your knee and your shoulders or whatever, a lot of wear and tear. And I think the way that a lot of people play sports today, they're gonna have a lot more pain than maybe a lot of people that worked hard, because the way they bounce off their knees and different things like that. But they have doctors, they can fix it. But anyhow, he had joints. He had joint problems. His hip was out of joint. Verse 26, and he said, let me go. This was the angel. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. It's morning. The sun is going to be coming up. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You know, there's so many messages. I know Scott, my son, he preached on this one time not too long ago. And he said the reason that he thinks, this is his thoughts, and it's a good thought, that his hip was put out of joint, that he would quit running. He was running. He ran from problems. If he couldn't get along with people here in Shiloh, he would go to another state. You may think, well, why come you're in South Carolina? I got along with people in Pennsylvania. I got a lot of friends up there. I didn't run. My hip's good. But anyhow, I think people do that sometime. But sooner or later, but I did, I tell you this, since I'm on that, I did run away from New York State. I ran away from home. I was a prodigal. Guess what? I relate with this story. I didn't know that God loved me like he did. I didn't know that he's ever going to give me a beautiful family, 4 children and 14 grandchildren. I think I'm right on that. Yeah, 14 grandchildren. I didn't know that. 2 sons and 2 daughters. I didn't know what he had in mind. I ran right into him. I thought I was running away from everything. I ran into him. Here is God. Here is Jacob. He's got his hip out. And I think he was so tired of running and getting hurt that he just said, man, here I got a hold, or somebody's got a hold of me. And I love that feeling. I just love what this guy is doing to me. And I'm going to hang on. And I tell you what, Jacob was a tough old boy. He would not let go of this guy that he wrestled with until he blessed him. The blessing, Wesley shared that this morning in Sunday school a little bit. I was listening about the blessing. It also gives you power, makes you happy. And I think the blessing that Jacob got here is, later on, it'll tell you what it was. But I think, you know, as he was facing his brother, I believe there's a peace come over that he really needed. He got tired of running, but he learned to hold on. That is where I got the message. I wrote beside my verse, hold on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't ever say it's not worth it. It is worth it. Ask for forgiveness. Somebody went through all these problems and gave this life for you and I, that we can live, that we can be forgiven. If you can't get along with some people, maybe the right thing is to move on. That was free. Verse 27, it says, he said unto him, what is your name? Then he told him his name was Jacob. You always wonder why he called him his name. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has our power with God and with men. And you know what the name Jacob, my Bible says he was a heel catcher. Remember when he was born, Esau was born first. Jacob had a hold of his heel when they were born. They're twins. So Esau was first. He was the firstborn, then Jacob. And his name meant heel catcher or supplanter or deceiver, trickster. That was his name. But Israel meaning, my God prevails for him. Thus he was now recognized as a prince with God. Can you imagine this morning, just in a short, about three verses right here, what all happened in Jacob's life for maybe, who would guess, let's say 50 years, that he struggled with all these problems. Today, he said after that wrestling match, he said, and Jacob asked him, and he said, I will get to that, what I just said a little bit here down in a couple of verses later. He says, and Jacob asked him, and he said, tell me, I pray thee thy name. Isn't that amazing? Who was it? Zachariah, Elizabeth's husband. This morning in Sunday school, I thought about that. You know, did he lose his voice for a while? Because he questioned God. Jacob wanted to know this guy's name. He probably didn't have a cell phone, but he couldn't get his cell number. He probably didn't have a Facebook back then, so he couldn't relate to him on that. But he said, what is your name? Wherefore is it that thou ask after me name, after my name? And he blessed him there. He wouldn't tell him his name. But verse 30 it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. I wonder if he's still worried about his brother. I believe Jacob is ready to die. Let him come. Let him come. I believe that he was not worried about his brother anymore, his enemy. And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He had a limp. From that day forth, there's a lot of messages in that verse. From that day forth, there was something happened in Jacob's life, which it was not Israel, that he had a limp. In this short chapter right here, a few verses, God used Jacob to bring in the seed of Jesus. His fourth son was Judah. That's Jacob's, Abraham's grandson, great-grandson. Jesus came from that lineage, our Savior, our King. He came from the lineage of Jacob, the heel catcher, deceiver. Think about it. Can God use people like that? He can use people like me. He can use people like you. The biggest thing that we need to worry about is the self-righteous spirit, because it is filth in the nostril of God. He wants to forgive our sins and set us free so he can use us. Today is a day of worship. Tomorrow is a battlefield. And if we put God's word out, and I think that's what Jacob beginning to do then, but if we put God's word out, his word will not return void. We get so wrapped up in ourselves, like Jacob did, that we just look at our past and we look at our future and we feel sorry for ourselves and complain that we don't realize that God put us here for a reason, to preach his word and to help people get saved. The lost sheep is out on the mountain and the cold is lost. Do we really care for that? Are we worried about that? What's happened to that person? And as God used Jacob, because Jacob wanted to wrestle all night, God was able to use him to bring the seed from our blessed Savior. Isn't that amazing? It's so amazing. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up, and that limp. And I had to think, you know, what are some of the things that we went through? What are some of the things that we went through that reminds us that our sins are under the blood? That we are in favor with God now. What is something of the things that you can think about? go to New Testament. We'll turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I think there's only one verse that I want to read there. Yes, one verse. Now, I believe also this fits Jacob. You know, the Old Testament is a friend of mine. New Testament is where I got saved. So will you. But the Old Testament is a schoolmaster bringing you to Jesus. It's more of a story form. And I was raised by the Old Testament. But the New Testament is where the life is. The Holy Spirit came. In verse 14 of chapter 4 in Ephesians, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, like the trickery things that people do towards us, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There is people that try and deceive us. There's people that try to get us a new doctrine that we would follow. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Word of God is settled. The Word of God is amen. The Word of God, when all the things will pass, the roads that we traveled on to get here, they're going to burn up. But the Word of God is going to stand forever and ever. That is good enough for me. How about you? It is the truth. The Word became flesh. That's Jesus. And He dwelt among us. That is why the Word of God gives us so much peace. That is why the Word of God sets us straight. That's why the Word of God gives us direction. I'm telling you this morning, people, hold on. Hold on and get that blessing. And you'll find that reading God's Word. Now, let's see what the New Testament encourages us to do. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is my last thoughts I want to bring out and finish up with this. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, which I have many of them. But Hebrews chapter 10, it's talking about how it used to be. Verse 10, in chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified. The word sanctified simply means, Christians, to be set apart, to serve God. Cleaned up daily. Clean up and ask God to give you directions to be a witness. Let your light shine for Jesus. Maybe there's times that you don't have to say anything. I told this person, I said, he's going through hard times. I said, you know, any time that you need somebody to listen, you got my number. Sometimes people just have to talk to somebody. And I'll tell you what, there's times I have no words. I think I do. But you have to be very careful when people go through hard times like Jacob did, how you respond back. Get the feeling, because people think about a way out. People think about taking their own life. You got to be careful with that. I really believe that. I used to think, just straighten up. Just fix it. Just come on, let's be a men and women. Fix it. Let's straighten up. I did change my mind. I did change my mind in a lot of ways. Sometimes people are going through a lot of things that you're not aware of. Maybe in childhood. They got some hurts. Sometimes you just need someone to listen. And I gave this person that right, that he could talk to me anytime, and I will listen. But if he wants answers, if I can give him answers from God's Word, that's where the power is. Not me. I will give him answers. Sanctified. The hope that lies within you, if people ask you, give them an answer for that hope. Verse 11, it says, and every priest standing daily ministering an offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. This morning, you know, a lot of people don't understand sin. Sin is our nature. Sin is how we were born. These beautiful little babies, these little children have the sin nature. Where did they get that? Who taught them how to lie? Who taught them how to speak evil? How come they don't want to share their toys? Probably because the adults don't either. One little boy said one time, he says, how come I have to share my toys, Dad, if you don't? The neighbors want to use his tract and he won't let him use it, but I got to share my toys. He couldn't understand that. I'm not sure how I got on that one. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. Who is that? That's the one that is building the church. That is the one that saved you. That is the one that gave his life that you and I can live. That is the one that's coming back. That is the one that loves you without words. He loves you more than your mama did. He died for you. He's sitting down on the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. All power is given to him. All the power. We think about the world, we get happier or disgusted. The way that sometimes in politics, those things can tear you down. I'll grant you that. If you listen too much. But people do have choices. God honors choices. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. It don't have to be done every year. How many times do you get saved? I've been saved I don't know how many times. You just make sure. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's in Romans 10:9. And I've confessed that many times. I just want to make so sure. And I ask God if my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you ever ask him that? The Bible says, ask anything in my name and I will do it. We just take for granted that after we got saved that God wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, didn't we? Did you ever ask him to put your name there? Think about it. Verse 15, it says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant. This is the covenant, like it's almost a covenant. Someone said a covenant is like, it's like a lawyer. I'm not sure how to explain it. It's not like a contract. If I buy some off of Jerry, we make an agreement. We both sign, and that's a contract. But a covenant comes one way. God is the one that puts out the paperwork, and we sign to it. He says, there is the covenant that I, capital I, will make. God made that covenant with them after those days. What days? After the resurrection. After Jesus was crucified, after he was here 40 days, after he ascended back into heaven, after the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came 10 days later. All those things, that's what he's talking about. After those days, that's what he's talking about. Saith the Lord, I, capital I, will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. This kind of a mind. Sometimes people say they struggle with certain things. I have a little problem with that. If you struggle with it, you probably try to get into sin. Sin is not an accident. Sin, you plan to get to it. You figure it all out. You make ways of escape that you can get to that sin. You choose to sin. But you don't like the consequences. That's what happens. I know. He says, I put my laws into their hearts, into their minds. Will I write them? How can he do that? He says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Wow. You know, when I think about that verse, how our Almighty God, people do remember. People do remember what you did towards them. And I remember what people did to me, and sometimes I remember what I did towards people when I was younger. But guess what? Our Creator, our God, says this, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That simply means that you are forgiven. Why do you think this morning, even in the Old Testament, after Jacob wrestled all night long, that he became a different man? God had a hold of him, and he knew it. When you become born again, leave the sins that in the past. They're in the deepest ocean. And put up a sign in your mind, no fishing. This is closed. It's in the past. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. There's a new beginning. Now I'm going to hold on. Hold on. He will not remember no more. Now here's where it's at. This is for Christians. And I believe you're Christians this morning. I don't doubt it one bit. Now, this is what God wants. We're having, therefore, brethren and sisters, boldness. What is boldness? To enter in the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Boldness. I tell you what, whatever is on your mind, whatever you're going through, tell God about it in Jesus' name. He is not a stranger. He loves you people. He loves me. He loves you. He loves all people. He came. We're remembering in a few weeks there, we're remembering the birth of Jesus. We're going to be singing a lot of songs, but he's not a baby. But he was born as a baby. When he was 12 years old, he was after his father's business. The age of 30. He began his ministry when the dove came down. John saw that. So the Holy Spirit landed upon him. And there's a voice came out of heaven, "This is my beloved son." Another time when they went on the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John showed up on the mountain with him, with Jesus. There's a voice came out of heaven. It says, "This is my beloved son, hear him. Listen to him, what he has to say." That's Christ. Now therefore, we have boldness. We have boldness. You know, a lot of times I think that with that boldness, instead of talking to each other about our problems, we need to pray them back to God, that he will help us through. Immediately there's peace. Take time to be bold when you pray to God. How? It says that it's by a new and a living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil. The veil is ripped, it's tore. There is no more holy holies that we can go into and have the priest go in and pray for us. Jesus is the high priest. He is the high priest. It is not the preachers. It is not the elders. It is not the president. It is not the priest that some people, some churches looked up to, call him priest or father. Jesus Christ is the priest. He is a high priest. That is the new and living way. He made us new. And having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church." The reason he said that, when he came from Caesarea, some of the people were asking him, disciples asked him, then he asked him back, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" There's different ones that they brought out that their people are saying that Jesus is. Then he asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Church, who do you say that Jesus is? Do you think God, he's asleep sometimes, or he's just someone that you wake up when you get in some real trouble? One thing, folks, that I've learned in walking as in a Christian way, in a Christian life, that God gives, respects our choices. If you want to feel alone, then feel alone. We also have an enemy that's against Jesus. We're in the battlefield. We are in the battlefield. He works in leadership. He works in school leadership. He works. The schools that don't have, I just told someone the other day, he said, but the public schools, how all the problems that they're facing. People, just lately somebody went into a school, I'm not even sure where it was, but he had two knives. He was 14 years old. He was going to cut the students. You remember here, what, 35, 40 years ago, when this prayer was taken out of school. Well, Satan is not dealing with prayer out of school or in school. He's not dealing with that in the public school. What he's dealing with, he wants to kill them. He wants to kill the students, because the Bible says when Satan is all done, it's death. Prayer is out of school. Bible reading is out of the public school. But where's the problem in the Christian schools? It's in the leadership through children and the parents. Because there's prayer in that school. That's where Satan is working. That's where God gives us wisdom on His Word if we study it. That we know how to deal with these things. That we just don't blame people. There's a higher power, and Jesus is number one, and Satan also has power, but not most power. He wants to destroy the Christian schools. He wants to destroy the Christian churches. He wants it. That's what he does. Look at Isaiah 14. It tells you who he is and what he wants to do. He's going to be up on top of the roof. He's going to be like the Most High. He wants to be that. He wants the glory. He wants all the pride. Let's just read on a couple more verses here. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience. Quit complaining. Quit speaking evil of other people. Absolutely don't. The Bible says it's wrong to speak evil of any man. That means the president of the United States until the slum area in New York City. Nobody. Speak evil of no man. We have no right to do that. Absolutely not. It don't matter what happens. We cannot speak evil. Evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. I'm talking about Christian living. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. Now we come. Now after all that is laid out, that's coming down to our level. Just a few verses down to our level. He said, let us consider one another to provoke or to agitate or to challenge each other. In what? Unto love and good works. Good works of witness. Good works to go caroling. Good works to go to prison ministry. Good works to give your neighbor something. You know how you worship Christ? You know how you not worship? You worship in spirit and truth, but how do you serve Him? You serve Him by serving people. That's what He's telling us right here. Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. In the last verse, I want to read here. It says, do you ever feel like not coming to church? Is Sunday school boring? How's church? When I was younger, I felt like quitting. I went to church because Martha begged me to. I was mad at the preachers. I didn't think they were fair, and I still think that. But I forgave them. They became my best friends. But I didn't like what they did. Not to me, but somebody else. That was years ago. Brother David's sitting here. He would know who I'm talking about. It was not him. David's a nice guy. But guess what? I'm here because somebody begged me to come. And later on, God called me into the ministry. It was a rough life. I was going to quit. I says, I had it. I'm done. You ever feel that way? Don't raise your hand. Is life really fair? Somebody said this morning, life is not fair. I'm so glad I listened. I'm so glad that Martha said, just come. Just go along for me and my two little boys. I did. I had a bad attitude. I sit out in the car during Sunday school. I didn't go to Sunday school. I got over it. God got a hold of me. I wrestled with the angel. Not all night, but one day on a revival meeting, I walked that trail. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. People, I'm not sure why it brought this message to me, but I tell you what, the end of the world is coming. There's two places. There's a place called heaven. Jesus opened the way. There's a place called a burning hell, a pit, outer darkness. That's where people go without Christ. I'm telling you this morning, if you're a Christian, hold on. Hold on to King Jesus. He will take you through. He's going to be with us even through death. But don't die without Jesus. Accept him. It's the best thing that you will ever do. Accept Jesus into your heart. It's the very best thing that you can ever do is accept him. Let's just bow our heads this morning. I'm going to give you a time. Just talk to God a little bit. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. I'm not going to ask you to come unless you want to. This is very serious. This could be a difference between heaven and earth, between heaven and hell. This very second could make the difference in eternity. Think about it. Where will you spend eternity if God would call you home right now? Where would you go? Tell you again, the road is open towards heaven. Ask your forgiveness. Every night, if you do fail during the day, ask God to forgive you in the evening. Wake up the next morning without any mistakes in it. A brand new day. That's the Christian walk. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven through the precious blood. Don't you love Jesus this morning? He's our King. He's our Savior. I'm so glad he didn't give up on me, even when I had a bad attitude. He continued to knock on my door and says, come home. Father, we thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for these people, Lord. We know you bought them with your precious blood. Love them. As there's any prayers, any confessions were made, Lord, would you honor that? Through the word, would you put it to our hearts that we may use of it, Lord? I pray through the precious blood that you would bind Satan in every way in our lives, in my family's life, and to the grandchildren, and all the people here in their families, Lord. Bind Satan and his power, and give us total victory and joy in Jesus' name. Receive all the glory to yourself, for we give all the praise, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.